My faith number 28. So last time we looked at two men who possessed wealth. One who actually was possessed by his wealth even after the encounter with Jesus. We looked at the rich young man and Zacchaeus. Today we'll again make a comparison. We'll see two men who are quite similar. In fact, they're both criminal and they're being punished for it. They're actually being executed. Yet despite their similar situations at that point, as they're about to die, their responses are quite different. And this shows us that their hearts are very different places. Hearts are poles apart. Let's read our short text. Luke 23, starting in verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God? Since you're under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, he's done nothing wrong." Wow, what a difference already. Now, what does Jesus say? Well, so you have the two criminals, one who seems to be hard-hearted to the end, and the other who is softer, or maybe he's become softer because of Jesus. I'm not sure. But he asked Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me." So he knows Jesus is the Christ. And look at Jesus' response. "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Paradise, the abode of the dead, the good place, the good part of the waiting place. Not heaven yet, waiting for the coming of the Christ and the judgment day after the resurrection. But Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Wow. Because, of course, Jesus too will be dying. So Jesus pardons the robber. Again, two thieves, same condition, justly condemned, and they're both certainly in great pain. And with only a short time to live. And I'm sure either could have been tempted to lash out amidst the pain. I mean, when I feel, when I've got a lot of pain, some days more than others, or if I'm especially tired, this is when I can be cranky. I can be a bit short. The word my wife uses is snippy. It's a good word. Yet one turns to God while the other refuses. And this reminds us, as all the Gospels remind us, that we have choices. We have choices. The Lord understands we may have hard circumstances. The Lord understands the dysfunction that we inherited from our ancestors and our families of origin. The Lord understands that we're all wired differently. And I mean, wired differently in our brains, brain chemistry. God gets it. He gets all of that. But none of us is without choice. We all have choices. And that day, the penitent thief and his Lord were going to meet in paradise because he made the right choice. It was late, the 11th hour, the 59th minute, perhaps. What a story. God's grace is extended even in extremis, Latin for, in the farthest things, in near the end of one's life. Now, some people read this beautiful passage and they say, well, this is problematic because of what the Bible teaches about baptism. This passage has nothing to do with baptism. It's not, no one's becoming a Christian here. There are no Christians yet, right? Not till the book of Acts. If you're looking for Christians here, you're three chapters too early. That is, this is Luke 23. There are no Christians in Luke 24. And in Acts 1, neither there. But in the next chapter, which Luke wrote, you know, Luke wrote Acts. Yes, there we have Christians. Because it's still the days of the Old Covenant. And of course, baptism is a participation in Jesus' death and resurrection. And Jesus wasn't dead, and he hadn't been resurrected. So there was no possibility of Christian baptism. There was no baptism in Jesus' name this early. But as Jews, as penitent Jews, both of them had a chance to be saved. I mean, I believe that both of them had that opportunity. I don't think they were predestined to accept and reject him. I think they really had a choice, like just as you and I have choices. But one makes the wrong choice and one makes a very good choice. Now, yet there's much more for us to learn from this passage than explaining the mechanics of salvation or how the old covenant was still in effect and what is the difference between the covenants. That's important, but it's not what this passage is about. And if we think that's what it's about, we're really missing something that is important. And that is that God is gracious, even at the 11th hour. You know, the early Christians had a concept, they called it the baptism of blood. And that was when martyrs had not yet become Christians. Of course, probably the majority of martyrs, those executed for their faith, had been Christians for a while. Because most of those executed were typically the leaders. They went after the church leaders. You know, cut the head off, and then the rest of the body will die. The average Christian was less likely to be rounded up and tortured or thrown to the lions. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it was the leaders who were normally focused on. But what about those who professed faith in Christ and then hadn't yet been baptized for forgiveness of sins? Sometimes these were soldiers. There are stories that have survived from the second century. Soldiers who came to faith in Christ and they laid down their sword and they said, Jesus says, love my enemy, I can't do that. And then they were executed before they could be baptized. Now, I'm not trying to play the judge here, who's saved, who's not saved. But I do know that there was this concept of the baptism of blood. If you shed your own blood, if you died for your faith, and you were intending to be baptized, if you had carried on that trajectory, you would have been immediately baptized, but you died before. Then our early brothers and sisters were gracious. They believed that those people had a chance. As it's been said, by whom I don't know, God has all eternity to listen to the prayer of the pilot whose plane is going down in flames. Actually, I was on an airplane yesterday. This was the windiest day. I mean, even the city of Baku is incredibly windy. But I was flying here from the Republic of Georgia, so not a long flight, Tbilisi to Baku. And the plane was going everywhere, not just left, right. It was dropping, and people were looking very panicked. I was pretending that I wasn't scared at all. And even when I got to the city, I took a taxi into Baku, and the wind is so strong, the taxi's being blown all over the place. Well, you ever thought you were going to die? And you think, oh, if that happened, I'm just not ready. I need time. I need to get some things in order. I need to change some things and apologize to some people. And yeah, the Lord knows that. And I don't think he's going to say, too bad, you waited too long. Because there's that possibility our hearts could turn to him at the last minute. God is gracious. Now, just dying, you know, if your plane crashes, you're not a martyr. Martyrs are people who've taken a public stand for Christ. Everyone dies. I see this in the media. People get killed and they're considered martyrs just because they died. I mean, that's quite a promotion. It's not martyrdom, but it is pure grace that God wants us to turn to him. God is sovereign. These are the two takeaways for me. One is this passage shows us that God is gracious. It's not a baptism. It's not a passage about salvation, as in how to be saved. It shows that God is gracious. And secondly, that God is sovereign. I mean, he does what he will do. We hope, I hope you hope this. I hope that at the last day in heaven or in paradise beforehand, I'll see a lot of people I had not expected to see. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. And maybe I'm erring on the side of caution. But I truly hope many people will be there who didn't respond to the gospel as I would have expected them to. But I don't know that. We'll just have to wait to see. That is God's call, not yours and mine. And judging is not just condemning. There's an opposite kind of judging. It's like where you're commending. You're saying, well, this person will be okay because I say so, because she's a nice person. Well, you don't know that. She didn't become a Christian. You can't just assume that she'll make it. That's God's call, not yours, not mine. God is sovereign. Only the Lord determines who makes it. And our Lord is so powerful that even at the last minute, as in the case of the penitent thief, salvation is a real possibility. What a beautiful story. So in Luke, we've compared two men who had it all. They had the money, right? One was possessed by the money, the other one let it go. And now we looked at two men who really didn't have much money. That's probably why they were thieves and participating in rioting. And once again, you might be tempted to put them in the same category, but no, it's about the heart. And one is willing to embrace the truth of Christ. He welcomes the good news. The other one insists on his rights. He stands on his rights, and he doesn't make it. So the second thief and the first rich man, they're in the same category. Whereas Zacchaeus and the penitent thief, they're in the same position. I think it's beautiful. And many times in the Gospels, the writers give us incidents that we could compare, one person and another person. Well, we've had two messages from Luke. In our next video sermon, we're going to be in the book of Acts, which is part two of Luke, and we're going to look at another comparison. And I'm not going to tell you the title right now because I want you to come back and listen to it. But I appreciate your taking part in this. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we are grateful for your word. It touches our hearts. We feel just more alive and like better people when we're following you, just as we feel less alive, somehow unclean, insincere, when we forget or turn away from your word. Please give our hearts strength, fortitude, courage to be like Zacchaeus and to be like the thief on the cross, the second thief. Lord, help us not to just stand on rights or privilege, which our society tells us to do, which is what the other thief did, and it's certainly the rich young man's situation. Help us to make the right choices, and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Take care. See you next time.